This morning, I invite you to open up your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and we'll begin our reading with verse 1. As we turn our attention to God's Word this morning, let's pay careful attention, because this is God speaking His Word to us. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, in our passage this morning, there's a power struggle. And the overarching question throughout Luke 2, a passage that we're very familiar with, the overarching question is, who is in charge? Who's in charge? Who's in charge of all of these events that are unfolding? Right at the beginning of our passage, we're introduced to Caesar Augustus, who with one decree moves the entire Roman Empire into action in order to register. It seems like he's the one who's in charge. That he is sovereign. In contrast to Caesar Augustus issuing decrees is this baby who is born. Wrapped in cloths, strips of cloth, and lying in a manger, lying in a feeding trough. The angels introduce him as Lord, Master, Christ, the Anointed One, Savior of all the people. And the amazing truth of the Christmas story is that this baby in the manger is the sovereign Savior who has come to earth. This baby in the manger is the one who rules everything, and now he's placed himself under human rule. being held in the arms of his mother and father. The one who controls everything, the one who created all of creation, all of the universe, is now exposing himself to the weather and to nature, wrapped in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords came to live a life without any political power, not even a palace. He didn't even own a home. Human rulers would mock him, reject him, persecute him, and eventually kill him. And nothing about the way that he lives would give us any indication that he was the King of Kings. It's actually just the opposite, because he spends his entire life in poverty. But this child who was born is the sovereign King of Kings. He is the one in charge. Now, boys and girls, sovereignty means that all things are under your control. What does sovereignty mean? It means that you are the one who is in charge. And that baby in the manger, he is sovereign. He's the one in charge. The sovereign Savior has come to earth. Now, boys and girls, I want you to think about the things in your life that you want to be sovereign over. Where do you want to be in control? Where do you want to make the rules? Maybe you want to be in charge of when you go to bed. Or maybe you want to make the rules about how much candy you're allowed to eat. Or about how much screen time you get to have. You want to be sovereign. You want to be in charge. You want to make those rules and those decisions. What about the things that are bigger than bedtime and candy and screen time? Who is in charge of your life? Who is in control of you? Who do you submit to? Because this is part of the power struggle in Luke 2. And what we need to understand is that there is only one sovereign ruler in the world. And it's never going to be us. This Christmas story is about a sovereign King Jesus. Jesus who has all things under his rule, all things under his control. And this sovereign King has come to earth not in order to rule, but to suffer. And to suffer for us. The manger points forward to the cross. And Jesus was willing to do this so that he could rule our hearts, because he knew that we couldn't. The sovereign Savior came to earth because sin makes us think that we're sovereign. And that's exactly why Christ came. So who's in control here? That's the question that we're going to be answering as we look, first of all, at all the world, and then secondly, all the people, and then third, all who heard. And so first, all the world. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus, this is verse 1, that all the world should be registered. Well, who's in control at this point? Who's in control here? These opening words of Luke 2 tell us that Caesar Augustus was the ruler of the entire Roman world, of the entire known world, and that he's issuing a decree that sets into motion the registration of all the world. Caesar, not just any Caesar, Caesar Augustus. He was the great nephew of Julius Caesar. And he fought to gain power. He defeated Antony and Cleopatra in order to become Caesar. And he's actually the first Caesar to be called Augustus, which means holy or revered. Up to this point, Augustus was a term used to refer to the small gods and the idols. Oh, they're holy, they're revered. And now Caesar is being called Augustus, holy and revered. But it goes even further than that, because when Luke was writing his gospel, some were hailing Caesar as Savior, even going so far as to describe him as the Savior of the whole world. And so at this point, the world has a self-proclaimed small g God, Augustus, who's being described as the savior of all the world. And with one decree, the entire known world springs into action in order to register. So who's in charge? Who's sovereign here? With one command, the entire world springs into action. The Romans are doing what they did best, tax people. And there's no taxation without registration. You need to know who you need to tax. And so in those days, the decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this is the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each in his own town. So Caesar Augustus is flexing his power and having all of the world register. And this process means that everyone needs to go back to their ancestral home. And among the many who are traveling, among the many who are making their way back home in order to register, is this man named Joseph and his fiancée Mary. Just a young couple. And she's really pregnant. She's going to have this baby any day, and they need to travel about 80 miles in order to register. So they begin the journey, maybe on foot, maybe on a donkey. Either way, it's not comfortable. She's full term. And she knows she's going to have this baby away from home and away from everyone who cares about her. And from all outward appearances, when you're looking at the big picture, Joseph and Mary, pretty insignificant. Just one of the many who are on their way to go register. The Roman registration required every man in Israel to return to his ancestral home. And so Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, where he was at, to Judea. So they're going south to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. He was of the house and line of David. Now, don't let that fact pass you by. Luke is telling us something very important there. Luke tells us that Mary's child is going to be David's son. The angel, when he announced Christ's birth, said that God would give to him the throne of his father David. Zechariah said that God would raise up a savior from the house of his servant David. And now Luke is telling us that Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, comes from the royal line of David. That technically Joseph would be one of the kings of Israel if the Davidic line had continued and hadn't been gone for 600 years. He's royalty. In order to fulfill the promise of salvation, Jesus needs to be a direct descendant of King David. Joseph's lineage explains why he had to go all the way to Bethlehem, because Bethlehem is the city of David, the hometown of the ancient king. And that's where Joseph needs to register. And even when we mention Bethlehem, kind of as a side note, but just as important, the very fact that they need to go to Bethlehem is another fulfillment of prophecy. You've got Micah 5, verse 2, but you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient of days, a prophecy that the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. So here you have Joseph, a descendant of King David, of the house and the line of David. You have his fiancée who's expecting this child, going to be born any day, and all of a sudden you have this registration, and they've got to travel 80 miles south in order to register. Who's in charge here? Who's sovereign? Who's in control of this situation, working all of the details in the pieces so that they come together to accomplish his will? Who's sovereign over all the events of history, down to the smallest details of when a baby will be born and where? While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Something that you and I need to realize is that this baby in the manger is the sovereign Savior who has come to earth. Caesar Augustus is issuing decrees. He probably thought that he was in charge. There were probably many who thought that Caesar was in charge. But as it turns out, the sovereign Lord and Savior is the little baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And this sovereign Savior came to earth because sin makes us think that we are sovereign. That we are in charge. That we're the ones calling the shots. So who's in control here? First of all, we've seen all the world. Secondly, we see all the people. That's our second point this morning. All the people. The angels bring good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And what is this good news of great joy? Well, the good news of great joy is that today in the town of David, a Savior has been born, who is Christ the Lord. God has become man in order to save his people. This is good news of great joy for all the people. Now, when we think about that phrase, all the people, who are we talking about? What does that phrase mean, all the people? Who is Christ's birth good news for? Now, at first, it might seem like this promise of salvation refers to people everywhere, all the people. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That Jesus is the Savior of the world, the only Savior that there is. However, the angel did not say all people, but rather all the people. And that one little word, the, is very important because it distinguishes these people from all the other people. So what people is the angel talking about? What people does the angel have in mind? Good news of great joy for all the people. He's talking about God's people. The whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life people. Christ's birth is good news of great joy for all the people. Fear not, the angel tells them. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. A baby. Not in a onesie, but in strips of cloth. Not in a cradle, but in a feeding trough. For animals. The Christmas story confronts us with the question, why would the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, humiliate himself in this way? And answering this question pushes us to the heart of what this story is about. Jesus didn't come with royal ceremony, pomp, and circumstance. He didn't come in order to have servants serving him or to live in a grand palace. He came for one reason. And that one reason was his focus the entire time. His poverty, his rejection, his suffering didn't distract him from the reason that he came. And what is that reason? Why did Jesus come? For unto you is born this day in the city of David what? A Savior, who is Christ the Lord. A Savior. Boys and girls, what is Jesus saving us from? He's saving us from sin. But not just any sin, he's saving us from our sin. From my sin, from your sin. He came to save us from ourselves. The sovereign Savior came to earth Because sin makes us think that we are sovereign. We all put ourselves in the center of our world. It's all about me. We all are way too focused on what we want and what we feel and what we think we need. We all want control over things that we could never control. We all get angry when someone or something gets in the way of our plans. We all want to write our own rules, and when we break God's rules, we want to be able to break those rules without any consequences. And we go through days without thinking about God's will or God's glory. And in that way, we allow our hearts to be captured by the ultimate idol, myself. My sovereignty. When you buy into your own sovereignty, you not only compromise your spirituality, but also your humanity as well. The world around us screams, I'm the master of my fate. I'm the captain of my soul. You've probably heard that phrase before. And this is exactly why Christ has come. To save us from ourselves. Our only comfort in life and in death is not that we are the captain of our fate or the master of our soul, but that we belong. That I am not my own, but belong, body and soul, in life and in death. Not to myself, but to my faithful Savior, my sovereign Savior, Jesus Christ. Who's in charge here? I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. The announcement of salvation and good news and great joy that will be for all the people. And that announcement includes these shepherds who are out in the fields. And so we go from the top of the Roman Empire at the beginning of Luke 2, the Roman Empire, Caesar Augustus, we go from the top to pretty much the bottom of society with the shepherds. The only one lower than a shepherd in Jewish society is a leper. So you go from the top to the bottom. Who are the angels announcing this salvation to, this sovereignty of Christ to? They're announcing it to the shepherds, to the least and the lowest, bringing down the thrones of those who are mighty and lifting up and exalting those who are humble. Jesus willingly humbled himself and lived in poverty so that through his life and death, he would rescue us from ourselves. The sovereign Savior came to earth because sin makes us think that we're sovereign. Who's in control here? All the world, all the people, and third and finally, all who heard. All who heard. What did they hear? Well, they heard the good news of great joy. They heard the gospel message that the shepherds were sharing, that the shepherds were making known, that a Savior who has been born, the Savior who has been born is Christ the Lord, that He is sovereign. And this announcement by the angels and this good news that the shepherds are now sharing around is a direct challenge to the sovereignty of Caesar. Caesar, who is described as Augustus, holy, revered, Savior of the world. This announcement by the angels and the shepherds, this announcement of Christ's birth, that he is Savior, that he is Lord, Master, that he is Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, is a direct challenge to Caesar, but it is also a direct challenge to you and me. Because when we say that Jesus is Lord, that means that we aren't. When we say that he's Savior, it means that I'm not. It means that we aren't in charge. But we do belong. And we submit. We aren't the masters of our fate or the captains of our soul. The sovereign Savior came to earth in order to save us from that lie. And the good news and the great joy that has come is the gospel message. And all who heard this good news, this gospel message, they respond. And recognizing the sovereignty of Jesus Christ is part of the response. What is the response of all who hear? Well, at first, all who heard wondered at what the shepherds told them. And then you have the shepherds who return. And what were they doing? They were glorifying God, verse 20, and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. They heard the good news. You're not sovereign. Christ is. And they responded by glorifying and praising God. They responded with worship. And now this morning, you're hearing the good news. You're hearing the gospel message. You're not in charge. Christ is. And he came to rescue you from yourself. This is good news of great joy. How are you going to respond? Are you going to fight back? Are you going to resist his rule? Like King Herod did when he murdered all the babies in Bethlehem? Or are you going to submit to his rule? Recognize him as Lord, as Christ, as Savior, as sovereign. Because when it comes down to it, we were meant to live under God's rule. To recognize and to submit to God. It's not a loss of our freedom. So often we think that we're going to lose all our freedom if we submit to God's will. And it's exactly the opposite. It's actually the way to true freedom. That's why the angel's message was good news of great joy that will be for all people. Recognizing God's sovereignty does not mean that we're no longer free. If we try to fight against that, if we try to be sovereigns and to be the ones in charge, it's going against who and what we were created to be. It's like trying to take a boat down 75. It's just not going to work. That's not what it was made to do. And in the same way, we were created to submit to God's sovereignty. And God exercises his sovereignty over all things in order to set up the right time and the right place for his sovereign son to be born as a man, to live perfectly and to die and to rise again victorious. By his sovereign power, God made sure that everything would happen according to his plan, a plan which he had set into place before the earth was even created. By God's sovereign will, the story was written down and preserved for us in his word. And by sovereign grace, God calls us to himself. He opens our eyes to his glory and grace. And he convicts us of our sins. He gets us to see it for what it is. He forgives us and he welcomes us into his family. He transforms us by his grace. By his power, he holds on to us for all eternity. Sin makes us think that we are sovereign. And Jesus came to rescue us from ourselves so that we could love him and submit to him. Remember, people of God, that today the Christmas story is a story about sovereignty. Who's in charge here? Who's in charge of your life? Because sin makes us think that we're in charge and Christ came to save us from that. And because the Christmas story is a story about Christ's sovereignty, you and I have hope of real life and of true freedom found in Christ alone. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you and we praise you for sending us your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, our sovereign Savior. And it's our prayer, Lord, that more and more we'll give up the thrones to our own little earthly kingdoms, give up the lie of our sovereignty, and submit more and more to Jesus Christ and live our lives for you. Lord, we know that sin makes us think that we're in charge. Help us to repent of that, Lord, and realize that Christ has come to save us from ourselves. Help us to celebrate that this Christmas as we glorify you and praise you for all that we have seen and heard, for the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.